This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Whether it's texting behind the wheel, eating, or searching for a station on the radio, it's all a distraction that can take your eyes off the road for a critical few seconds. Just long enough for something bad to happen, often with fatal results. Teenage drivers are the most affected by this, being distracted about a quarter of the time while behind the wheel. Here to talk about distracted driving and how to prevent it as summer rolls around, our corporate public affairs manager of AAA Allied Group, Cheryl Parker, and manager of driver education at AAA Allied Group, Mike Belcour. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Cheryl and Mike, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having
us.
Cheryl, we always think of certain, you know, texting. That's the, when we talk about distracted driving, it's always texting. But what exactly is distracted driving? Because it's a lot more than just texting, isn't it?
It is a lot more than just texting. It's anything that takes your eyes and actually takes your mind off the road. We've done a lot of research about the mental distraction associated with behaviors behind the wheel. So in addition to texting, it's checking emails. It's in the case of teen drivers, we see a lot of distraction just related to engaging with their fellow teen passengers. So anything that is keeping you from doing the task at hand is a form of distraction.
Apps, are they also a problem?
Apps, and we see, you know, teens that are, they're actually teens and adults that are downloading while they drive. I mean, they're doing, you know, phones allow us to do so many great things, but when you're trying to do them while you're behind the wheel, that's when you have a big problem.
Is texting the worst on that list, though? Is that why people always perceive, when we talk about distracted driving, they always think of texting first?
I think it's the most talked about. It's out there mainstream. Because, like she was saying, the number one distraction for teens is actually their fellow passenger. But it's just the temptation. We're so connected. So you have that phone in the car, you hear it go ding. The temptation, because you do it all the time, is pick it up and look to see what's going on.
It's a reflex, isn't
it? Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, you hear that and you want to read it, and then you want to respond to it, and then you want to see what the response to your response is, and it goes on and on. So how long does that happen during the course of your drive from point A to point B?
Yeah, and you brought something up that was interesting, Cheryl, when you're talking about how other teenage passengers in a car can be a distraction as well. I guess that's because they're talking to you and you're thinking about what they're saying. You're trying to impress them and whatnot.
They might be showing you something,
yeah,
or, you know, handing a phone to you, or do, you know, anything that you are doing in the course of that time with your fellow passengers.
I guess that's why you have the graduated licensing programs,
exactly,
that say only one passenger in the car at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just not equipped when they're just starting out to handle that situation.
You know, Mike, I might glance at my phone to send or read a text, so my eyes might be off the road for just a few seconds. What makes these few seconds so crucial?
Well, in the time it takes to read and send one text, you travel about the length of a football field or a little longer. So what I always tell our kids—
When a lot can happen in that distance.
So what I usually tell our kids when we start talking about distracted driving, the students, is if I told you to get in the car and close your eyes and drive for the length of the football field, would you do it? And of course, the answer is always no, I wouldn't. And I said, then why would you do it with your phone? Because that's in essence what you're doing. So it's not necessarily the act of texting. It's your eyes, your brain, everything is now not focused on the machine you're driving.
You're disengaged.
Right.
You're completely disengaged.
Cheryl, what about laws about texting in Ohio and Kentucky and Indiana? Aren't there laws that say it's illegal to do this?
There are. And in Ohio, right now, we have a primary texting ban when it comes to teenagers. So that means that law enforcement can pull you over if they observe what they believe to be texting or distracted driving. But for adults, currently, it's a secondary offense. There is legislation proposed right now to make the texting ban primary for everyone So we anticipate debate about that topic in the coming months. Mm-hmm.
So if it's primary for adults, then if they could be pulled over solely for that. If a police officer sees you texting in the car or looking at your phone, he could pull you over. He doesn't have to wait until he sees you speed or run a stop sign or anything like that.
And there has been research that has shown that the primary texting bans are more effective because you don't have to have that other reason for the officer to pull someone over. And it has actually led to a reduction in traffic crashes and fatalities as well.
What about the hands-free phones? Are those much safer? Or are they still – no.
The AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety has done extensive research on this topic, and it basically they concluded that hands-free is definitely not risk-free, and it really gets to that mental distraction that I referenced earlier. Even though your hands are on the wheel, your mind is somewhere else because you're thinking about that email that you're checking. You're thinking about that response. You're waiting for Siri to tell you where you have to go. I mean, it takes your mind off what you're doing. And that mental distraction can be just as dangerous.
Now, we're talking about the AAA Foundation, which does a traffic safety culture index.
That's right.
What message have you gotten from motorists in that survey about how they view texting and driving?
Well, it's really interesting because the majority say texting and driving or distracted driving is a huge problem. It makes the roads more dangerous. But then you also have, I think it was more than two-thirds that said they had used their cell phone while driving in the past 30 days, and a third said they did so regularly. And then I think it was 2 out of 5 that said they had sent an email or responded to an email or a text message while driving. But everybody said it was a dangerous thing to do, but they were still doing it.
So why do we do it, Mike?
You know,
you started to touch on this earlier. I mean, you don't want to miss anything.
Yeah, and I compare it to riding a bike. Mm-hmm. When you learned how to ride a bike, that's all you focused on, right? But once you learned it, they always say you never forget. Well, that's how it works with a car. Once you learn how to drive a car and you get comfortable behind the wheel, your mind kind of takes over. So you think, well, I know what I'm doing behind the wheel. So if I do check my phone, it's okay. My reflexes take over when it's driving. I'm fine. So it becomes just like second nature. So they just do it. It's reflex. And to the study that she was talking about, what amazed me the most was 90% of people admit to doing something in the car that's dangerous. Now, whether that's texting, eating, responding to emails, fatigue driving, speeding. So they all know it's wrong, but 90% of the people you're driving next to on the road admit to doing something that's dangerous.
No, and you know, I can't tell you how many times I'll see somebody as I'm driving on I-75. They might be putting on makeup, or they might be fidgeting with their phone, or they might even be shaving. I've seen that a few times as well. So, distracted driving does take a lot of different forms.
Well, yeah. And then in addition to that, you know, you are driving distracted and sharing the roads with someone who is driving impaired. You're sharing the road with someone who has used heroin. They've had alcohol, marijuana, prescription drugs, or all of the above. So we have an increasing number of threats to safety on the road. So you really need to be focused.
Cheryl, is distracted driving as hazardous as impaired driving? I mean, is that the same danger level?
And it's all happening at the same time. So if you're not focused on the roads and someone who just shot up with heroin is on that same roadway and you don't see them when they are crossing the lanes, then what's going to happen? You know, we have those two horrible situations colliding and we know what can happen.
513-419-7100 to join us. And we're joined now by Elizabeth in Middletown. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah. My comment is, I got my driver's license in, 1975 when I was 16 and a half. And my comment is, even without the high-tech distractions that face teenagers today, I think it took probably just learning to drive, getting a driver's license and learning to drive, it took a good 5 years before I would consider myself a good driver. Okay, back at that. Because, I had a couple of really close calls. One was coming to a stoplight on a wet road and hitting the brakes too hard and then hydroplaning and having to cause a lot of control, but then getting control of it and, you know, in time to not hit a telephone pole. And so I learned about, you know, how to not hydroplane, or just glancing away, and the passenger in the car shouted, no, a sharp curve, you know, and just learning to drive
it's tough enough without any distractions. Although, remember, you got your license about the same time I did, and the distraction back in our days was the radio.
Right.
You had to dial the radio, so that was what always caused the problem.
Right, yeah.
Elizabeth, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. How much does experience help? How much?
Well, it's interesting because she hit it dead on that it takes 5 years for a teen driver to become what we call a seasoned driver. So you throw in then they're learning to drive, and then you throw in all these distractions, the phone, the radio, and all of that, other passengers, and it's a recipe for disaster. So experience is the big thing. There's nothing, you know, it doesn't matter what age the driver is. You know, it could be a brand new 16-year-old driver if they get their license at 19. They're about the same because they have no experience on the road. So experience is what grows and makes you a better driver and makes you able to deal with the other drivers on the road.
Right. Drivers that might be drowsy, which is also as dangerous as driving impaired. You know, drivers that don't have as much experience either. There are a lot of unsafe situations that you may encounter. So the more experience you have and the more focused you are better equipped to handle it.
Mike, as a driving instructor, how much time do you spend focusing on the hazards of distracted driving with your students?
It's constant. I mean, we constantly talk about reducing risk and how you can reduce risk by keeping your eyes on the road, having a good search pattern, and then talking about, okay, we know to look 20 to 30 seconds ahead when we're driving. Now, what distracts us? And the usual answer is phones and everything. But it's funny because it's even the stuff outside the car that you don't even think about. Billboards, Lady Liberty standing there waving her sign, people walking their dogs and stuff like that. All of that's distracted too. It draws your attention. So it's really, you know, when I'm in the car with the student, I'm constantly talking about staying focused, not letting stuff like that distract you.
Cheryl, are there programs out there that are aimed at reducing the amount of distracted driving that's going on out there?
Well, one thing that we do with the AAA driving school, and Mike is an integral part of this, is when students complete our program, they get a special wristband that says don't text and drive. It's a visual reminder. A lot of them are now putting them on their cell phones so that when they're in the car, they have that visual reminder on their phones that says don't text and drive. We encourage them to share this information with their loved ones because, you know, it's not just teenagers. We spend a lot of time talking about teens and distracted drivings. But we see a lot of parents doing it as well.
It's just as tempting for a lot of adults.
Yeah, it is. And they're checking their email for work. They're communicating with people about meetings and such. I mean, distracted driving is happening across the board. So that is one thing. And then Mike has also been very important in our new AAA Distracted Driving Experience. It's a new program, and I want him to share this because this was really his brainchild, and we've done it at Xavier University and with the Colerain Police Department recently, and we have another one coming up soon.
Nothing teaches like experience, right?
Yeah. So basically what we do is we set up a driving course with cones, and we close the course, and we make the teens text and drive. We show them. We have them get in the car, and I give them easy texts to send, like, how are you? Be there in 5 minutes. What are you doing tonight? And I let them drive all over the course and knock down cones and do all of that. You know, the last one at Xavier, we had a girl drag a cone all the way around the course because she went right over the middle of it and it got lodged below the car.
And how long was it before she realized that she's texting? She goes, oh, wait a minute, I ran something over.
Yeah, it's funny how they respond because especially a couple of people that did it at Xavier, they really talked about, wow, that could have been a person. That could have been a kid. Mm-hmm. And it really hits home when they start, you know, the first time they hit a cone, it's kind of a laugh and, oh, I got a cone. But then when they hit 2, 4, 5, 10, it starts to realize, hold on, I can't do this. So it's really an eye-opening experience because we're making them do it. And they know it's dangerous. But this puts an example to it in a non-life-threatening kind of fun way.
And you think it hits home.
Yeah, I really do.
It does. And we had some parents mm-hmm. go through that experience with our texting and driving experience last summer when we worked with the Coleraine Police Department. And it was eye-opening for them as well, because these were parents who had teens that were just learning to drive. And it made them think, well, I, as a parent, number one, need to model the safe behavior. And number two, need to make sure that at every opportunity I give my child experience and let them know how dangerous it is to not only drive while texting, but engage in any other distracting behavior. We're doing an event with Marymount High School next week, and they're going to have the student body watch this texting and driving experience. Their leaders really feel that this is an important topic and an important message that will definitely hit home with the students and the staff.
Mm-hmm. Micah, a quick advice for us. Where do you start on – I think Cheryl hit on some good things. Parents have to set a model themselves at home. Well, a few other things that people can do to help reduce this.
I mean, the big thing I tell the students is set it and forget it with your phone. So a lot of them, keep in mind, they use their phone for their radio. They use their phone for a GPS. They use their phone for all other things in the car. And it's really silence it so you don't hear it, so you don't have that reflex temptation to check it. And then just set it and forget it. Nothing is as important as you getting to point B safely.
Well, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Corporate Public Affairs Manager of AAA Allied Group, Cheryl Parker, and Manager of Driver Education at AAA Allied Group, Mike Belcour. Thank you for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.